Hi, I'm Peter Dempsey.
Oi, eu sou Gustavo Menezes e eu sou piloto de Star Mazda.
Hi, I'm Rusty Mitchell.
Hi, I'm Martin Plowman, and you're listening to OpenPaddock.net Motorsports Commentary for the fans, by the fans.
Welcome to another episode of Inside the Helmet here at OpenPaddock.net. For this episode, we are joined with Shelby Blackstock, perhaps better known for those of you on Twitter as Shelbilly. Shelby, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.
So tell me how you got into this messed up world of motorsports. You had a different entry.
I mean, I started really, really late in the auto industry. I was in college in the University of Arizona doing my freshman year, and I went in really excited to learn and really excited to try to find out what I want to do with my life. And I went to a very advanced high school in California, and so I was like, all right, yeah, let's go. And I showed up, and I figured out that I was learning the exact same stuff that I learned for the next 2 years that I've learned over the past year. So I was like, okay, this kind of sucks. So, and, I mean, some people will be like, oh yeah, then I know this, it'll be easier. Some people are just kind of get down and like, well, then I'm not really learning anything. What am I doing here? So, it was kind of one of those, like, not really into it. I was the manager of the girls and guys golf team. I've been playing golf since I was three. And, so it was free golf in the state of California, free golf in the state of Arizona. So I played a lot of golf, and my parents, made a deal with me. They said, hey, if you get this year, because I've always been interested in cars and I've always been interested in, mm-hmm. in racing, and that was just kind of like, I was in the music business, so it wasn't a deal of like, okay, let's go racing. It was just like, well, yeah, it could be your hobby, yada, yada, yada. And so they made a deal, if I give a year 110%, I'd go to, they'd send me to Bondurant Racing School in Arizona. So did the year and went to Bondurant, and kind of things started happening very, very fast. There was a lot of teams that sent their drivers back there to Bondurant to get like a refresher course, and I was faster than all of those guys. And so they told me to go to Skip Barber, and I went to Skip Barber and started racing from there, and got hooked up while in Skip Barber. I got hooked up with the Roush Performance team, and they started putting me into a Continental Tire race, and I like that a lot. But I've always loved open wheel cars. I've watched Formula One for I don't know how long, and I've always loved IndyCar, and I really wanted to get the open wheel side because that's where I really wanted to be. So I started looking for a ride in USF 2000, and I found Andretti Autosport, and had a test with them. It went very well. They were interested in signing me, and kind of went from there. And over the past couple of years, everything's happened really fast. Luckily, this is definitely something that I was meant to do mentally and physically. I mean, everything racing-wise comes to me very easily and comes very fast, such as like learning how to be quicker and what I need to change in the car and car setup-wise and all that. It comes to me like second nature, which is very good, and that's helped my progression. And little by little, moved up the ranks to starting out the 2014 season with a win in Continental Tire Sports Car Challenge in IMSA, which has a lot of factory drivers and from Chevy, BMW, and all the manufacturers, and be able to get a win in that series was very, very huge.
Well,
on my resume,
I want to highlight that you didn't just get a win at any event. This was at Daytona.
Yes.
This was at the
Correct.
Event of the year, right?
Correct. It's the couple of events you really want to win is Daytona and Indy. And hopefully we can check off the second one, but that went into getting a, because my first year in Continental ever, I got the pole position at Daytona. So this was like just kind of icing on the cake to be able to get a pole and a win at the Daytona International Speedway.
Well, let me go back a few years. Let's go back to when you went to Bondurant Racing School.
Mm-hmm.
Had you had any motorsport experience other than maybe enthusiastic driving on the street before then?
No, not really. It's funny to tell the stories from all the other drivers in the paddock, because all the other, especially in the formula car world, all the drivers start when they basically get out of the womb and they're in go-karts and they start immediately. And I'm from a small town from Lebanon, Tennessee, and kind of like the Redneckvilles, and we had the good old Walmart with a lawnmower engine on top of the roll cage on it.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I drove that all the time in fields and down the streets and all that kind of stuff. And that was just kind of messing around fun. And it kind of led from there. I guess you can say I started with that. Me and a couple of friends had them, so we'd race each other all the time, and it turned into a demolition derby. But in the end, I guess you could say that's a little bit of experience.
Well, what kind of things surprised you or came unexpectedly to you during that first school experience? What kind of misconceptions, predispositions did you have that needed changed?
In the racing school, the one biggest thing that definitely stood out is when we first went out, there was a guy who was racing in Continental at the time, and I was like, I want to run around him and see how I stack up, and I passed him and then checked out, and that was our first test session out, so I was like, huh, that's interesting. We were in C6 Corvettes, which is a great platform car to start on. And so then I did the four-day course, so you had 3 days in that, and then the fourth day I was in the old-school Star Mazda.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my first Formula car experience, you could say, and that's kind of where I fell in love with the Formula car side. And the open-wheel side was, I loved how more like aggressive they were and how very quick the details and all that kind of stuff. So that's what really sparked my interest with the Formula car. So any time I went to Skip Barber, I was mainly in the Skip Barber Formula car, and I did a little bit of MXI stuff. That was the main focus, and that's what kind of kicked off the Mazda route to Indy with Andretti Autosport.
Well, and tell me how you made that connection. How did you and Andretti get in touch with each other? How did you make that deal happen?
It was actually in Skip Barber in the Nationals. I had a teammate named Thomas McGregor, and they were interested in Thomas, and they were saying, hey, do you know of anybody else that'd be interested in the ride? And they threw my name in there, and then when we went to test, we were really, really fast, both of us. So they would they didn't know if they want one car, they wanted two cars, and when I came in to test with them, they were really interested, since we did really well at the test, and it just kind of went from there.
Well, excellent. You've been with them for what this will be your third season with Andretti Autosport, right?
Correct.
You joined
yeah.
them in 2012 in USF 2000. And coming into USF 2000 from Skip Barber, I imagine in some respects you're looking at some similarities, but what about the competition level? Was that?
Go ahead, sorry.
Oh yeah, go ahead.
Then Skip Barber, it was very competitive, and it was very, very good racing. When I went into USF 2000, we were quick, but yeah, definitely the level of competition would raise the bar. Skip Barber had kids from go karting and everything, and then the jump from Skip Barber to USF 2000 is a bit of a jump. Just from the extra downforce levels, and the car's so much faster. And when I showed up there, I mean, of course, the level of competition was huge. A lot of kids have been doing it their second year, and a lot of kids have been coming out of Formula 1600, which is closer to the 50,000 car than a Skip Barber car. But in the end, it would definitely raise my game up a lot, because you had to kind of step up your game to compete. And then out of the following year, we went to Pro Mazda. My driving style, really, really liked the Pro Mazda a lot more. I finished third in the championship. And then this year we're going back for my second year in Pro Mazda, so I can get to hopefully go for the championship and get the scholarship money to go to Indy Lights.
Well, tell me about the difference. You say the Pro Mazda car fits your driving style better. What is it about the difference between the two motors and chassis, the way the two race cars are designed, that they think fits your style better than the other?
You talking about USF 2000 and Pro Mazda?
Yes, yes.
In the end, it handled more like a proper race car. The USF 2000 car is a very beginner, and you're still trying to learn all your racecraft and all your driving techniques with that car. And overall, the motor and the chassis is a great platform to start there, but just some cars fit some driver style better than others. And when I went to Pro Mazda, it was definitely going in between those 2 years. I mean, my driving style, my driving performance had definitely increased a lot to be more smooth and rather than just kind of go out there and drive as hard as you can. So it was a little mixture of me progressing as a driver, and also it was a little bit of just how the car works, how the Pro Mazda is a very short wheelbase, and just how the rotary engine works. It's just a good little platform as a middle step in the Monster Road Indy.
Well, now, while you're doing all this open wheel stuff with these very light and moderate power, but very, very lightweight, nimble little race cars, you're also competing in the Continental Tire Series with a Roush Mustang. And so that has to require a really different skill set, or at least some adjustments between how you approach racing in either USF 2000 or Pro Mazda, and then going sports car racing with, I presume, a bit more power under you, but also considerably more mass.
Correct, and I ran with Roush Performance for 2 seasons, and now I'm with Fall Line Motorsports and a BMW M3, and that's what we won Daytona with. But the big thing is at Skip Barber, when I was in Skip Barber, I kind of was there in the right time. They offered a package to where you kind of paid for one package, you just had unlimited racing. And it was mainly for the gentleman drivers that came in and just like, yeah, I'll do this weekend. I'll do this weekend. They weren't expecting the three kids who did it, me, Thomas McGregor, and Scott Anderson, to do every single race that they possibly ever, even full of car and the MX-5. They didn't expect us to do every single race of every single thing they offered. So from the beginning, I was jumping back and forth between a sedan and a formula car, so my brain kind of, I would say, adapted to where, I mean, if they parked both of us, Pro Mazda and the BMW side by side, and I did 10 laps with one car and then jumped straight into the other car and did 10 laps, it would be automatic. It takes me about, I'd say, not even a half a lap to kind of change my brain over. It's a second piece of nature, I would say, just from my, just kind of how my brain turns off from one thing to the other. And it works really well. I've never had a problem with it. I've had weekends to where I've ran the oval at Milwaukee in the Pro Mazda, and then took a red eye that night to drive the Mustang at Mid-Ohio last year, and didn't have any problems with either.
Well, and you know, I want to talk about the ovals here for a second, because in USF 2000, of course, you raced at the Lucas Oil Raceway there in Indianapolis. That was your 2012 season, if I have my timeline right. Was that your first oval experience?
Correct. That was definitely was my first oval experience, and it definitely didn't go too hot. We had a horrible qualifying session. The person who went out before me laid down some liquid, and I was the first one out, so I was like, oh boy. And horrible qualifying session. Was round middle of the pack, and as soon as the race started, we did the first opening lap, and the second opening lap, a kid about four car lengths up spun by himself and took me out. So I did two laps in my first race. It was like, that was awesome, cool.
Oh, that was the year we had the giant Van Diemen junkyard there in the infield, wasn't it?
Yeah, pretty much.
We had I think there was about 7 or 8 cars there in the infield. So I remember that. Coming out of turn 2, I believe, was where most of that was. Well, that's an unfortunate start to your oval career. Mm-hmm. Well, last year though, that kind of changed a little bit.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, when you went to COTA there in Austin, the first race was a little dodgy, but then you came back with 4 consecutive podium finishes, including a podium finish there at Indianapolis at Lucas Oil Raceway. First of all, before we get into talking about the two ovals, Indy and Milwaukee, tell me what it was like driving at the Circuit of the Americas, that brand new track.
It was something that you could definitely say all the kids that were driving that series were kind of walking around with the big saucer eyeballs, because it's a proper racetrack. I mean, it's the best, even Formula One guys, they raced at the best racetracks in the entire world, and they say Code is their favorite track out of the whole circuit. And you just kind of, you're used to American street courses and road courses, and there's a certain way the tires grain, and you come in at COTA, and it looks like a Formula One tire. It's like it's proper graining on a tire, and it's just, you can't kind of stop talking how good the track was. And in our race there, it actually was a up and down weekend. For the first race, I actually got my wing clipped. So I had my front wing was broken and my toe was knocked out. So I was just kind of surviving. And then race two, we had an awesome start from ninth to second on the first corner. And unfortunately, we had some transmission problems that race, and that's where we lost the second place to third place. But other than that, it was actually a phenomenal weekend. I wouldn't say upset, but definitely disappointed that we're not going back there. But the circuit like that, we need to go back with a bigger venue such as IndyCar or something like that as a support race. But I hope we get to race there again. It's an amazing venue.
Well, let's move on back to the ovals. And if we come back to Lucas Oil Raceway, and you've been here before, but it was in the USF 2000 car. Very mm-hmm. different platform. Was there a big change in how in your driving line? I know at Lucas Oil, your quick line is usually almost right up next to the wall. I mean, you're running that high mm-hmm. line all the way around, which is pretty unique for an oval. But did the USF 2000 line differ significantly from the Pro Mazda line?
Sort of. The you could kind of go all over the place with the USF 2000 car, but the problem is you had to use the brake. And it wasn't a big thing, but if your car setup wasn't perfect, once you hit the brakes, that car can go all over the place. With the Pro Mazda, with all the extra downforce and everything, you never touch the brake. It's just a small lift. And in the Pro Mazda, you actually have to run a little bit in the higher groove at the very, very top next to the wall. And it's just, overall, just with a more confidence with the Pro Mazda car and just how it fit my driving style better, we were able to tune the car right to where, I mean, my teammate Matt and I, we definitely had great success for the race. And yeah, so it kind of just worked out perfectly for us for the IRP, the second IRP race. Both Andretti cars were on the podium, and yeah, it was a pretty good weekend.
I'm actually happy to hear you refer to it as IRP. Of course, that's how I always remember that venue. as opposed to
it changed. It changes every week. So I got, it's Lucas Oil Raceway, right?
It was last week. But you're right. I mean, it's gone through so many changes, but I still remember it as IRP. Going to Milwaukee, it's a little bigger of an oval. It's a mile, mm-hmm. but the line is so different with the flatness of the track. It's more of a traditional outside with your turn in apex and track out.
Definitely
having only raced at IRP, was there a bit of a learning curve, or was that line something that came pretty quickly?
Everything came pretty quickly. The only problem that I hit into was just from driving styles and how everything was. Like, my car was normally neutral to very loose, and my teammate's car was normally neutral to very pushy. So when we qualified okay, and then the race came around and the track changed like 180 degrees to where the guys who finished really well, their cars were right in the neutral range, and the guys who just fell hugely, and I was one of those. Unfortunately, we missed the setup for how much the track changed that day. My car was just insanely loose, entry, mid, and exit, and it was 90 laps of just catching a race car the whole time and survival. And it definitely widens. Ovals is about 95% car setup. You can't really drive a bad car through the field on an oval. So that's definitely one thing comparing from a road course to on a road course. You can change your driving style to, if you had a not so good car, to still kind of make it work and be really fast with it. On an oval, if the car setup's not right, it's just not your day. So that
makes
was definitely the biggest learning thing is, yeah,
makes
pretty much
for
that.
A long afternoon.
Oh yeah. It was the longest.
Well, the things got a little better as you went up to Canada. Of course, Toronto, Toronto didn't go as planned.
No, it definitely didn't.
But you get to Mosport, and you set the pole in race one, and end up on the podium, P2. And then in race two, you take the top step. Tell me about that weekend.
That weekend was very, very good. We hit the setup perfectly, me and Bud Wilkinson, my engineer. And from qualifying one, we put it on pole, and I made a slight mistake on the start in the race one, and Spencer drove a fantastic race, which gave him the race win in race one. And race two, I started in the front row. And in the end, it was just the car was very good. I was definitely on my game that day, and Spencer led for half the race, and then I made my move. And once I got by Spencer, Spencer kind of got freight trained by a couple of guys that were right behind me. So that gave me the breathing room to try to pull away and check out. And we did just that, and we got our first race win of the year.
And that had to be a really good feeling.
Oh yeah.
Be on that first step, kind of a vindication moment.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
So the rest of the year wraps up at Mid-Ohio. You go back to Canada, Trois-Rivières, and Houston. I've got to ask, that Houston circuit. what was your opinion when you first set foot on the grounds there?
What the heck is this? in the end, though, like I've heard so many stories of like, oh yeah, Houston, it's the bumpiest place ever. It's crazy. It's hot. It's bumpy. It's this. It's that. And the guys were like, oh, surely they'll repave it. Since 2007, we showed up and the exact same. It was almost even more bumpy than it was in 2007. And like Matt and I went out and we did our first practice. We were clear at the top. And like, yeah, it's not bad at all. I mean, it's not. I mean, it's bumpy. It's bumpier than Sebring, which is saying a lot.
Yeah.
But we continued on. We're like, yeah, it's fine. Like, people stop complaining. It's just it is what it is. And my teammate Matt was actually the one who's saying the most of it. He was like, yeah, I don't know why everybody's complaining. Yeah, it's bumpy, but just get over it. It happens. And after practice two, they pulled my engine cover off. My motor was cracked in half all the way around. So there, and Matt kind of sat there. He's like, yeah, I take back everything I said. So. I ran qualifying with a bracket holding my motor together and ratchet straps. So that was an interesting weekend. And then race two, race one didn't go, it went okay. And then race two, I was taken out on the open lap and sent back to last place. And I drove my way back up from 16th to 6th, which secured me a third in the championship, which was pretty good. So in the end, it was a interesting weekend. I'm definitely not looking forward to going back in July or June. So
yeah, that'll be brutal. The
yep.
Weather, because they're not planning for that to be a night race, correct? That's going to be an afternoon race.
I at this point, I've heard both. I've heard it's going to be a night. I heard it's going to be in the day. It's the South, and I guess the guys from Indy don't really know. In the South, it doesn't ever cool down. It just stays one constant temperature.
Yeah.
So it'll still be 90 degrees, 98 degrees at 8 o'clock at night or 12 o'clock. It doesn't really matter. It's going to be hot.
Yeah, that's going to be a brutal time. Now, coming into 2014, you're back with Andretti and
mm-hmm.
And set to improve from your third place in the championship, which was expertly done, I might add, besting Spencer Pigott, who battled your teammate Matthew Brabham for the championship the previous season in USF 2000.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so well done that. But now for 2014, that can't be enough, right?
Oh no, exactly. I mean, going for basically all or nothing this year, and I'm looking for the championship, and I want to get that on my resume so we can, when I move up to Indy Lights, I have a championship underneath my belt and be able to go for that one. And the prospects of looking on to IndyCar.
Well, now, of course, we've been talking, and while you're doing this, you're also full-time in the Continental Tire Sports Car Challenge. How do you find time to be a full-time driver in both series. That's got to keep you hopping.
Oh yeah, I mean in the end it's amazing. I love racing as much as I possibly can. In the IMSA Continental Tire Sports Car Challenge, I'm actually only guaranteed for 9 races this year. I have 3 conflicts with Pro Mazda, and I'm missing Watkins Glen, Lime Rock, and VIR for Continental. So it's definitely something that kind of sucks missing those, but my main focus is on the Mazda Road to Indy. And that's kind of, I mean, I love sports cars very much, but just walking up and down the paddock and at IMSA and Tudor Sports Car Challenge or the Continental Tire Sports Car Challenge, it definitely helps to have a IndyCar on your resume, because rides open up for you all around the world. And with IndyCar, you have the Indy 500, you have actually running in the IndyCar series, and it's that's a huge deal, and it's definitely something that everybody's wanting to make it to. So I'll always be interested in sports cars. I'll always want to run in sports car races, but yeah, IndyCar is the main focus, and it definitely helps going from IndyCar to sports cars later on in my career, hopefully.
Well, best of luck in 2014 in both the Pro Mazda and the Continental Sports Car Challenge. We wish you the best of luck and look forward to seeing you on track. And thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you very much for calling.